going to be out. Straight down his throat. Oh, he's dropped it.
Gentlemen, decision pending.
Hello and welcome back to episode 14 of the Scouting Cricket Podcast. We return after a pretty long break. I think it's around about 10 months since we recorded the last one. Just a variety of different things have taken place over the last year or so, but get to chat all things Bangladesh Premier League for this episode, which kind of continues the theme of where the last one was, where we were previously joined by James Thompson, who was the analyst for Chattagram Challengers in the previous edition of the Bangladesh Premier League. But today we're joined by Tawhid Qureshi, who runs a Twitter page called the Sightscreen Cricket Journal. He's a journalist and writer in Bangladesh cricket, writing for BBC Sport, the Cricketer magazine, and Wisden as well. So a pleasure to have you on, and how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Ronan. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chat everything BPL.
Yeah, it's a busy time for cricket at the moment. Anyway, I'm struggling to keep up with everything that's going on, all these tournaments that are happening. It seems like every day is kind of like a marathon for cricket, with the BPL and BBL on in the morning, and then you've got the South African competition in the afternoon, some ODI internationals as well, and then you've got the Super Smash at night. So it's like a 24-hour cycle of constant cricket just now.
Absolutely, yeah. I was reading somewhere, I can't remember who said it, but someone was saying that potentially this January, or you know, the next few weeks are the busiest ever for cricket, in terms of, like you were saying, all the international stuff, all the franchise stuff. So yeah, loads going on.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, just stuck in a bit of background to yourself, obviously you mentioned some of the places that you've written for some big companies within the cricketing industry. So how did all that come about?
Yeah, I guess kind of purely through chance a little bit, but also, I guess, so yeah, I mean, to kind of rewind a little bit, I kind of set up that Twitter page, like you were saying, Sightscreen Journal, and, you know, as well as like a website, which was basically like a blog of mine. And I guess I kind of set it up with a couple of things in mind. Firstly, that, you know, I'd always watched Bangladesh cricket very closely, sort of over the last 20 years, I guess. So, you know, my family heritage is Bangladeshi. So, you know, been over there a few times and also kind of watched cricket over there quite a bit. And so, yeah, I guess it came about sort of during the lockdown. Everyone sort of was starting a podcast, weren't they? That was the thing to do.
I think that was the same, yeah.
Exactly. Everyone's starting a blog, starting a podcast. So yeah, it kind of evolved through, a passion for kind of watching Bangladesh cricket. And also I felt that, you know, there's lots of kind of column inches given over to sort of English cricket and Australian cricket and Indian cricket. But I felt that there wasn't kind of a lot of, I guess, in-depth coverage of what was going on in Bangladesh, because yeah, okay, they might not have, you know, they might not play as much as, you know, the big three, but certainly there's a lot of cricket going on out there. And so yeah, I felt that it wasn't maybe being as sort of being covered as much as it could. So yeah, the blog, the Twitter page, it was all kind of a response to that, really.
Yeah, and with having your blog now, is there other places as well that's kind of helped the coverage of Bangladeshi cricket? Is there other places that would have kind of good coverage of the tournament on at the moment as well?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's in Bangladesh, there's lots of, you know, the cricket media in Bangladesh is, you know, very vibrant. And, you know, there's lots of kind of cricket websites, there's lots of TV channels that kind of give a lot of coverage to the BPL. So yeah, I would say in Bangladesh, yeah, there's certainly like a lot of BPL coverage. Outside of Bangladesh, yeah, I would say it's a bit more kind of thin on the ground. I guess one thing I would say about this tournament is, so purely from a UK perspective, kind of watching the BPL from the UK, it is actually really visible, which hasn't always been the case. So I think last year it was only available online, and that was sort of by subscription to a website that not a lot of people have kind of heard of. But yeah, this year it is on, you know, again, I guess if you've got Sky, it's on one of the Sky channels, not one of the main channels, but it is on Sky nonetheless. And actually the other thing that I discovered the other day, which I thought was really cool, if you go to ESPN Cricket Info, they've actually got in-play highlights. So, you know, shortly after a wicket falls or shortly after someone, you know, hits a six, they've got those kind of highlights. So it is, yeah, it takes a little bit of searching, but if you are interested in it, you can follow it.
Yeah, definitely. It's been good to see. I've been following it myself so far as well. I need more than one screen in the morning. I've got the Big Bash on one screen and the DPL on the other. But also, I think it's in its ninth edition now, won last year by Camilla Victorians for the third time. I remember seeing, I can't remember if I watched all the final last year or just towards the end, but I think they won by one run, needing 10 off the last over, and they only got 8 in the end. So it was a really close game, but it was against Fortune Baruchel, who I thought would have been the favourites to win it. But yeah, the final last year was a bit of a thriller.
Yeah, I remember that final as well. I think it was one of those games where it was almost like neither team actually wanted to win. So it was a case of, you know, over to you. But yeah, like you say, Camilla Victorians got over the line. And what I remember about that team that won it, and you know, just the quality of their overseas signings was like something else. So I'm pretty sure in that final they had Moen, they had Faf du Plessis and Sunil Narine. So I'm pretty sure they didn't play the whole tournament. I think they just came in for, like, you know, the last sort of batch of games and you know, for the eliminator and then the final. But to have those three in your team, I mean, you're going to go, you know, a long way to winning lots of games, I'd say.
Yeah, that's been one of the main challenges this year with the sheer variety of competitions on at the moment, getting the quality of overseas players that you'd want, the highest standards or ones that kind of fit the way you want to play. I think in every tournament that's on just now, everyone's kind of struggled to get exactly who they want because someone's away elsewhere. So it is definitely a challenge this year to get that same quality and that same kind of tactical nous of what you need as well.
Yeah, no, totally agree with that. And I think one thing, you know, there's been quite a lot of kind of detractors around the BPL and, you know, the quality of the tournament and, like you say, you know, the quality of overseas players and sort of umpiring standards and all of that sort of thing. And I think some of it is justified, some of it isn't. But yeah, certainly in terms of like the player recruitment side of things, yeah, you're absolutely right. The fact that, you know, the SA 20, what's it called? SA 20, SA, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that begins, well, it's begun already, hasn't it? And then you've got the T20 tournament in Dubai in the UAE as well. So yeah, I think the fact that those two tournaments are happening almost simultaneously, and obviously you've got the Big Bash as well, doesn't do the BPL any favours. And I think, yeah, one thing that's always dogged the BPL is kind of poor administration and you know, kind of inefficient organisations. So I know this year's tournament, the actual draft was held pretty late, really. I think it was in November, actually, that they held the draft. And by that stage, you know, a lot of the foreign players had already signed up to some of the other tournaments.
Yeah, and I think, am I right in saying that last year the tournament was before Christmas as well? Is there a reason why it wasn't the same this year? Because obviously having it just now clashes with everything else. So could it have been held pre-Christmas, or was there any reason why that kind of didn't happen?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, my take on it is that, you know, there has to be a, you know, within Bangladesh, there has to be a dedicated window for it. So obviously the India series took place throughout sort of late November, actually finished exactly on on Christmas Day, the last day, the second test. So, yeah, I guess it couldn't take place during that sort of series. And then, yeah, I guess, you know, just a few days after that to kind of sort everything out and all the logistics and everything else. So, yeah.
Yeah, so just moving on to the tournament this year so far, with the Scouting Cricket podcast taking a kind of keen eye on players aged under 24 to kind of notice those kind of younger players coming through. So we can obviously share kind of knowledge that I have on players at the moment and some kind of statistics as well, but also learn about some new players that might be kind of going under the radar as well. So at the time of recording, we're doing it on the Thursday evening, just before the matches take place on Friday the 13th of January. So I thought to start with the week leaders at the moment, who are the Sixers, who've won all four games so far. So the kind of main player I wanted to touch on as well was Tawid Fridoy, who was a key part of the Bangladesh under-19 squad that won the under-19 World Cup a couple of years ago. But last year, he had kind of a difficult time of it at Fortune Barishal. Now, obviously, moved franchise, and he's had a fantastic tournament so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, sort of, he's hit three consecutive 50s, which I'm pretty sure, I think I saw a stat the other day saying he's the only Bangladeshi player in the BPL to have done that, I think, in terms of sort of hitting three consecutive 50s. So, yeah, hugely impressive opening to the tournament. Obviously, yeah, it is very early days. I think we've played less than, I don't know, maybe 20% of the overall games. I think there's 40-odd games in the whole tournament. So, yeah, still a long way to go. But, yeah, hugely impressive start for Tohid, a namesake of mine, which is why I sort of take a keen interest in him as well. But yeah, like you were saying, he was obviously part of that under-19 World Cup winning team, which beat India in the final in South Africa almost 2 years ago. Well, yeah, almost. I think it was in February 21. And it's amazing how quickly time flies, because I remember sort of watching that tournament and, you know, being hugely impressed by that group of players. And yeah, like you say, it's actually quite interesting to sort of see how some of the players have developed relative to one another. So I would say out of the whole group, you know, Shorif Al Islam, the left arm quick, has you know, progressed the most out of that group. You know, he's been capped in all formats of the game. So, yeah, he's basically a fully fledged Bangladesh international, and I think his rise has been pretty prolific. Certainly, yeah, over the last sort of year or so, he's had a real sort of prolific rise. You know, still very young, very raw. I think in terms of, yeah, Shorif and where he can go in the game, I think. Yeah, what I would say, and it's something I would say about a few Bangladesh players, is that Bangladesh tend to have a lot of kind of multi-format players, certainly compared to, you know, you look at the top three, you know, the Australia, England, India, compared to those sorts of teams, they have a lot more multi-format players. And I would say that's principally because the player pool is a bit smaller. So that, I guess, means that, you know, players have more opportunity, I guess, to play in all those formats. So I think something that he needs to decide, maybe, or certainly that, you know, team management need to decide, is kind of where his specialism lies a little bit. And again, I would say that's a common theme for a lot of the Bangladesh players as well. But yeah, as I say, his rise has been prolific. And yeah, going back to Tohid, he's just looking at his stats, he's played a fair amount of kind of list A cricket, and you know, even a dozen or so first class cricket matches as well. So his stats are kind of there or thereabouts. Just looking at his sort of T20 overall kind of figures, he's got a strike rate of 120, which in itself I'd say is pretty well, in kind of general global kind of standards, you would expect that to be the absolute minimum benchmark, I guess, to break into a kind of an international T20 team. But, you know, by Bangladesh standards, it's you know, pretty impressive, where traditionally, you know, they struggled in T20 international cricket, particularly. And, you know, a lot of the players don't have particularly impressive strike rates. So yeah, strike rate of 120 with an average of 30 plus is you know, a pretty positive showing, I'd say.
Yeah, I think staying on his strike rate as well, something that I picked up looking at him, obviously being a middle order batter as well, obviously facing against spin is one of the main challenges. So before this tournament, his strike rate against spin was 97.2. But in this tournament, it's 136.5. I think he scored 71 runs off 52 balls of spin, being dismissed only once. So he's either clearly worked on his game against spin and is getting the rewards for it. So I'll just be interested to see over the rest of the tournament if he can kind of maintain those sort of levels, because those are obviously really positive numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just looking at his stats. Like you say, we're recording on Thursday the 12th. So his stats at the moment are showing a strike rate of, you know, close to 170 with an average of 65. Like I say, quite a small sample size. He's only played the three innings, four matches, but just the three innings. But yeah, fantastic start to the tournament. And like you say, yeah, I'm not sure if it's something that he's particularly kind of developed in his game in terms of playing spin in those middle overs, but he's certainly in a bit of a purple patch. A little bit unfortunate, actually. I don't know if you picked up on this, but in the last game that the Cilex Strikers were playing, he actually got injured whilst fielding. It was a finger injury, and it required a few stitches. So, yeah, I'm not sure about his sort of participation in the next. Well, I'd be very surprised if he plays in the next kind of game. I know these games kind of come thick and fast. So, yeah, he might well be out for a week or two, which yeah, is a bit of a sad story for him, because obviously in when you're in such a rich vein of form, you just want to carry on playing.
Yeah, exactly. Possibly the worst time, but hopefully he's back in the side soon. And someone else in their side that kind of stood out to me locally was Rajaur Rahman, who's a 23-year-old right-arm seamer, bowls a lot in the middle overs and took 4 for 14 against Chattagram. I think his career economies, or in this tournament anyways, just over 8.5, which I think I looked at his career stats. He's bowled over 60% of his overs in the middle. So that economy is possibly a wee bit high if you're bowling in the middle overs, because that's traditionally where you expect, you know, teams to be a bit more conservative. If he was kind of bowling in the power point at the death, then those would be a reasonable return. But he seemed to bowl with good pace when I watched him as well. So is he someone that's kind of on the radar of the national team as well that's coming through?
Yeah, I think he is. I think I'm thinking back to about sort of 12 months ago. I think he was actually in one of the sort of international squads. I think it was, so there was a series between Bangladesh and Pakistan. This is going back towards the end of 2021. And yeah, I think he was actually named in one of the squads there. He hasn't played international cricket. And yeah, I mean, I actually like the look of him last year. So he was in the Chattagram Challengers team in the last BPL last year. And yeah, it's an interesting player. I mean, again, you look at him, he's not tall at all. So, you know, you wouldn't think of him as a quick bowler, but you know, Bangladesh, I guess, traditionally have a history of kind of producing quite, you know, not particularly tall, but quite skiddy, difficult to play sometimes, kind of fast, medium bowlers. So he definitely kind of fits into that mold. And yeah, like you say, I mean, his career stats, looking at his T20 career stats, yeah, economy rate around that sort of hovering around sort of 7.3, which is kind of reasonable. But yeah, like you say, he's kind of again started the tournament really well, picking up a 4 for 14 in that first game, which has really kind of helped his cause, and also, you know, helped Sillett's cause, because actually, yeah, the fact that Sillett, just sort of moving the focus to Sillett for a moment, yeah, the fact that they've, you know, 100% record, the only team in the competition to have a 100% record, even though it is such an early stage of the tournament, is quite amazing as it is. I mean, Sillett traditionally in the BPL haven't done particularly well. So they've, sort of going back to what I was saying before, you know, the BPL hasn't always been the best kind of organized tournament. You often get lots of franchise changes, so, you know, lots of different owners kind of taking over the, you know, the franchise. So if you look at the Sillett team, I think they've at least undergone sort of 3 changes. I think they were the Royals, Sillett Royals, the Sillett Sixers, Sillett Strikers now. I'm sure I've probably missed 1 or 2 names as well. So, you know, it hasn't been the most stable franchise. So actually for them to be going so well is a real kind of surprise, I would say, to the start of the tournament. And I think it's testament to, yeah, guys like you say, guys like Reza Rahman, Tohid with a bat, and actually, you know, a lot of their batters have you know, done really well. You look at Najmul Hussain Shantu, I think is kind of number 2 in the run charts at the moment as well. He's been going well opening the batting. Zakir Hasan as well, who had a fantastic test series against India, scored a century in the first test, a half century in that second test. So for him now to actually show that, you know, he can actually play a bit in the T20 format is quite a revelation to me anyway. So yeah, they've got lots of players who've kind of come up with the goods so far.
Yeah, I think as touched on at the start, the recruitment is clearly something that they've done well, with Bedoy playing for Barishal last year, Reza Rahman at Chattagram, and their overseas players looks like have strong contingent as well, like Mohammad Amir, Imad Wazim, Pereira, and Mohammad Harris, 21-year-old from Pakistan, top of the order, who had an impressive PSL opening the batting, and even the backups that they have as well that haven't. Well, I think Colin Ackerman played 1 game at the start. Mm-hmm. They've also got like Tom Moores, Gulbuddin, yeah, who's an Afghanistan international, and then another kind of youngster they've got is a 21-year-old leg spinner, Shafiqulla Ghaffari, who I think was either top or second top wicket taker at the same 19s World Cup that Fridoy played at as well. So yeah, clearly recruitment's been something that I think they've nailed possibly the best out of all the teams from looking at their signings.
Yeah, and you know, interestingly, you know, the one person you didn't mention there was the captain, Mashrafi Mortaza. And you know what a kind of a stalwart of Bangladesh cricket that he's been. And actually, I do know that during the player draft, he was actively involved. You know, he was on the Sillett strikers table when all the bidding was going on. So you know, he was a central part of that sort of recruitment strategy. And yeah, what a fantastic kind of captain to have in your team, kind of marshalling the troops. Been there, done that. I mean, I find that it's kind of a small miracle that he's still playing cricket. I mean, he's had so many injuries, so many sort of knee replacements and all this sort of stuff. It's a bit of a minor miracle that he's still playing, but yeah, I don't think he plays much cricket apart from the sort of BPL stuff these days. And also, interestingly, he's kind of, it's very much a part-time kind of job, his cricket, because he is actually an elected member of parliament now in Bangladesh. So yeah, that, I know that takes up a lot of his time, but yeah, no, he's obviously, you know, a great person to have at the helm.
Yeah, definitely seems so, quite an interesting background story he's got behind him. And then just going from the current table toppers to last year's winners, the Camilla Victorians, who are currently 0-2 so far, but they do have a reasonably strong side, so they'll be hoping to kind of improve where they've been so far. I think they've recruited Mohammad Rizwan and Shaheen Afridi, who haven't played yet, but I think I read somewhere that Shaheen will be involved at some point, if I'm right.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I mean, yeah, I would maybe take that with a pinch of salt. I mean, I would be very impressed, I guess, with Afridi and his kind of rehab and recovery in terms of if he does kind of end up playing. But yeah, no, you're right. They have got an impressive looking kind of squad. And yeah, what I would say about them is, you know, compared to, you know, I think they've won it the most amount of times. I'm pretty sure that's right. And out of all the, you know, out of all the other franchises in terms of their ownership, it's probably been the most constant. So, you know, that itself has kind of, you know, been a positive for them. And, you know, their success obviously breeds success in terms of that constant established kind of framework that they have. So yeah, they haven't done too well. They've obviously lost both of their games so far. But as I say, it's such early days. I would expect them to bounce back, and I would expect them to kind of put a run together at some point.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think there's maybe some changes that if they can make, they can make Kustil Shah, who they've had his overseas, been batting as always number eight, and he bats number six for the Pakistan national team, so he seems to be a bit low in the order. I think teams are a bit over-reliable on Mohammad Nabi, who's been pretty poor over the last 18 months. I think Kustil Shah's a better bat than him, and they've also got Dawid Malan, who's obviously, you know, a big name for the tournament. He's a strong player in England, but I'm not 100% his game is totally suited to Bangladesh conditions, although they do also have Josh Cobb in the background, who's a pretty strong player of spin to have in the middle as well, and Fazal Haq Farooqi, who's been one of the best kind of upcoming seam bowlers at the moment, but I think he's away to play for the MI Emirates in the Dubai T20. But looking at the kind of local players that they have Ashikur Zaman, a 20-year-old seamer who's had a promising start to his first-class career. I did also see a tweet about him as well, that he can bat a bit too, and I think he came in really low down the order, so maybe there's potential with his batting as well. Is he someone that you know a lot about with that has some potential?
I must admit, I don't know a lot about him, but just kind of giving you a quick update on some of those other sort of players that you were talking about. Yeah, I think, well, Milan specifically, I think he was always going to play, I think, just the first couple of games, which they've ended up losing. And I'm not sure if he's headed off to South Africa or to Dubai, but I'm pretty sure he's playing in one of those tournaments. And then the idea is that, yeah, if the Victorians progress to the knockout phase, then he'll come back to rejoin. And I think the same applies to Mohammad Nabi as well. But just actually focusing on Milan, he actually had a really successful BPL. I can't remember who he was playing for. It might have been the Victorians. So this is going back to the 2019/2020 edition. It actually sort of straddled over both of those years. It started sort of towards the end of 2019. So yeah, he had a really successful BPL tournament in that edition. I think he might have even ended up a top run scorer. So yeah, he can prosper in those sort of Bangladesh conditions. And you know, he's used to them, and a real asset when he gets going, I guess.
Young player to touch on in the team was Jaakar Ali, who's a right-hand wicketkeeper batter, age 24, hit 57 not out from number 5 against Sillett as well. So he's another one coming through the ranks as well. So they'll obviously be looking to bounce back from their poor start.
Yeah, that's right. And so Jaakar Ali, I'm pretty sure he actually hails from the Sillett region. Yeah, he does. So he's not, he's, you know, sort of, I think 24 plus, almost 25. So he's been around a little while. And actually what's interesting is So, yeah, he's played, I think, 40-odd first-class games. He's played a fair few sort of T20s. And I guess similar, he's similar to someone, you know, Zakir Hasan, who we were talking about earlier, who's played, I guess, a similar amount of cricket. He's, I'm pretty sure Zakir Hasan's also around that sort of 24, 25 age bracket as well. And I guess what he's shown is that, you know, you can not necessarily have been involved in sort of the under 19 setup, although I think I'm pretty sure Jacarelli has played under 19 cricket. But I guess, yeah, the point that I was going to make is that it's a little bit unusual for Bangladesh selectors to kind of go with guys who have been involved in domestic cricket for sort of 4 or 5 years, and, you know, who have kind of done solidly, but not sort of spectacularly. Those guys, a lot of the time, kind of go under the radar and don't necessarily kind of get picked up by selectors. But what Zakir Hasan has shown is that, you know, actually, sometimes if you do give those guys a chance, they can kind of come up trump. So it'd be interesting to see kind of how Jakir Ali goes for the rest of the tournament as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And now moving on to another team who are also 0-2 so far is the Khulna Tigers. The main kind of under 24 player I want to touch on to begin with is Azam Khan. He's one of my favourite batters to watch in world cricket. He's one of the best players of spin, I think, around just now. And he got his maiden T20 century recently as well. Watching that is fantastic. I love watching him bat.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing knock the other day. I caught some of it. And yeah, like, you know, such a clean kind of striker of the ball, keeps wicket as well. So, you know, a bit of a multi-dimensional player within the team. And yeah, I mean, fantastic, fantastic knock the other day. I saw a bit of the press conference that he was in afterwards. You know, obviously a real, yeah, a very famous dad that he's got in terms of Moeen Khan, the ex-Pakistan international wicketkeeper, batter. So, you know, a lot to live up to. But certainly, you know, like you say, he's had successful PSLs and he's also played CPL before and had some success over there. So, yeah, certainly seems to be translating that into his first BPL.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of going to kind of more local players as well, Munim Shariar, 24-year-old opening batter, who was really impressive last year and earned himself a call up to the national team. But I think he played 6 games, didn't really make a score. Him and Tamin Iqbal haven't really fired at the top of the order for Khulna Tigers so far. But I think if those two get going, it'll kind of be pivotal to how, if they can kind of make the knockout stage, I think those two will be kind of a mainstay towards that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, Tamim Iqbal, we know all about him. We know what he's capable of. He's obviously retired from sort of T20 internationals now. He didn't play in the most recent T20 World Cup. And yeah, you know, I expect him to fire at some point. Might take him a little while just to kind of get into the groove. And yeah, like you say, Munim Shariar is an interesting one. He did have a really good tournament last year. I was speaking to Jake Lintott, who was, you know, in the same franchise team as Munim last year, and he was saying how he was, you know, one of the younger members of the team that he was very impressed with. Yeah, like you say, he did get a call up. Unfortunately, it didn't kind of quite go to plan, but I guess when you've got, well, the hope is that, you know, he's young enough to come again. And yeah, if he puts a good kind of run of form together, then that's the hope.
Yeah, definitely. I think, do you think he was unlucky to miss out in the World Cup, or were those kind of 6 games he had enough chances for him to miss out? But as you said, he's someone who probably come back and get another go in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you look at sort of the other batters in the T20 World Cup, and yeah, there wasn't an awful lot to write home about. Litton Das, you know, apart from him, I'd say no one really sort of set the world alight. So yeah, I would definitely say that there's slots there for the taking. Yeah.
So the next team had on the list here to chat about was Fortune Barrichal, who were last year's runners up and arguably one of the tournament favourites. They're 1-1 so far. Do you think they will be one of the ones that you'd expect to see in the latter stages of the competition?
Yeah, I think they will be. Like you say, they got to the, beaten finalists last year. But yeah, you look at some of the players in their squad and you would expect them to kind of maybe get stronger as the tournament progresses. Yeah, I mean, just looking at their team, you know, the obvious play there that we're all familiar with is Shakib Al Hassan, who's had a couple of run-ins, shall we say, with umpires so far in the competition so far. He's hit one 50, I think it was a 67 the other day. So yeah, he's someone who can always kind of win you a game. But yeah, it seems that for whatever reason, I mean, he can be a bit of a law unto himself at the moment. I'm not sure his mind is kind of totally on the winning cause at the moment, or on the Fortune Barrichal cause at the moment. But yeah, if he can kind of get his mind right, then yeah, every chance that they can go through to the latter stages. And you know, it's not just him. Actually, I would say, the kind of the form player at the moment in that team is probably Mehdi Hassan Miraz. Had a fantastic ODI series going back a few weeks against India, and decent test series as well. And you know, he is such a kind of a multi-dimensional player. He's really kind of becoming a premier kind of all-rounder, certainly in the white ball game. So you know, I expect him to kind of win Barrichal, you know, a few more matches as the tournament progresses.
Yeah, they seem to have a strong kind of experienced domestic core to their team, and then where the kind of youth spin comes in is within their overseas. So one of the players I think is pretty underrated at the moment is Karim Janat, 24-year-old all-rounder from Afghanistan, who seems to be ever improving. Bolsom useful seam, played in the T10 and the Sri Lanka Premier League recently, and he's a good six hitter as well at the back end. So offers you know some hitting at the death with the bat and some reliable seam through the ends. I think in the T10 he was averaged 41 and struck at 175 and took 8 wickets at an economy under 10, which is pretty impressive in that format. And then they also have fellow Afghan Ibrahim Zadran, 21-year-old middle order batter, who's another one that'll be looking to kind of force his way into the Afghanistan national team more regularly. I think those two players and the kind of Afghanistan market as a whole is somewhere where the league's done really well. I think they've recruited some exciting young players from Afghanistan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just looking at Karim Janat, he's actually vastly experienced. You look at how many sort of T20s that he's played across all the different franchise tournaments. So yeah, like you say, he can do a job with bat and ball. And yeah, I think hugely excited by Zadran as well. I think, you know, he's a young player of a lot of potential, and yeah, look forward to sort of seeing a lot more of him as the tournament goes on.
Yeah, I think he was the first Afghan player to hit a 50 in the tournament. I think I saw a tweet about that. I'm not sure if it's this year or as a whole, but yeah, one to certainly keep an eye on. And they also have Haider Ali as well, 22-year-old from Pakistan, who kind of showed what he's about in the T20 World Cup, showed glimpses of him. I think he kind of excelled at that same Under-19 World Cup, which keep coming back to. He was another one who impressed there and made his progressed into the Pakistan national team. So yeah, their overseas contingent has some exciting youngsters in it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all of those guys are capable of potentially winning a game. I mean, I guess the other thing to note for Fortune Barrichal is kind of their pace attack, which is you know, interestingly, almost like the first choice Bangladesh kind of test attack, I guess you could call it, with Ebadat Hussain, Khalid Ahmed, you know, they're all kind of regulars in Red Bull. And, you know, Ebadot's now playing more and more, well, he's coming more and more into sort of white ball international cricket as well. But yeah, those guys. And also you've got Kamrul Islam Rabi, who's also played international test cricket. So yeah, they've obviously got a bit of a plan there in terms of using those three guys.
Yeah, and just going back to the Afghan kind of spin they've had on things as well, I noticed they also recruited Raminullah Gurbaz and Naveen Al-Haq, who are kind of more regular names in the national team. But I think both of them will be, I think they're in the Dubai T20 competition, but we'll perhaps see them later in the competition, depending on availability. But I mean, it's also jumbled. It's impossible to really know what's going to happen. But they're certainly some high-quality names that they've got the potential reason if it comes to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you were talking about it right up front there. It's almost a full-time job just to keep track of who's where and who's playing for whom.
Yeah, definitely. And just kind of the next team who are also 1-1 so far is the Rangpur Riders, who beat Camilla but lost to Barishal in their opening two games. How do you see them kind of going in the tournament going forward?
Yeah, I'd expect them to be there or thereabouts. They've recruited some interesting names. If you look at their squad, I mean, particularly their kind of, well, if we start with their overseas, they've got, you know, a vast amount of experience in terms of their overseas signings. So they've got, Sikandar Raza, who's obviously, you know, set the world alight, I would say, over the last kind of 12 months or so. So, you know, he's obviously a real asset to the team. And yeah, although I'm just looking at his stats, he hasn't really got going yet with the bat, but again, it's kind of early days there. Shoaib Malik, obviously, is the other vastly experienced kind of player in terms of the overseas, and also Benny Howell as well, who's again sort of played in franchise cricket all over and performed. But yeah, none of those guys, well, apart from Shoaib Malik, I know he's hit 150 so far. Again, it's early days, they've only played two games, so yeah, expect a lot more from that sort of overseas contingent.
Yeah, I think Benny Howell, the way and his style of bowling, he's complete menace on those pitches. I remember watching last year with Chatgram. I don't think he took too many wickets, but he's obviously really hard to get away when he bowls in those middle overs. But another all-rounder that they do have, again, another nice Afghanistan signings, Azmatullah Omarzai, who's starting to break into the national team. He offers some really valuable power hitting at the back end, which we're yet to kind of see the best of, although he was really good in the Nepal T20 that just finished. Obviously, this is a bigger step up. So looking to see what he can do on this kind of stage, and offers you some seam bowling as well. Also, like the look of Saim Ayoub, who's briefly played a bit of PSL, 20-year-old opening batter, seems to bat with real intent at the top. So he's someone who may feature at some point. But they do have a kind of good core of under 24 local players. The probably most notable one being Mohammed Naim, the opener for the national team, who's a multi-format batter, although does have a low T20 strike rate. Do you think he's someone that will remain in the team kind of longer term, or people like Shariar knocking on the door if he impresses, push him out the team? Or
yeah, like you say, for an opening bat, in many respects, you know, opening the innings in T20 cricket is in some ways, you know, the easiest place, or, you know, the most straightforward place to bat. You know, all the fielders are in, nice hard ball, get good contact, bat on ball, and you're going to get some runs. So yeah, for an opening bat, I would say that 108, 109 strike rate is definitely on the low side. And particularly you look at that average as well, 24 average. So Yeah, he's again, he's someone who's played a lot of T20 cricket. He's played 90 games, I think. So he's definitely been around for a little while. But yeah, I think he just needs to kind of step up a little bit, really, to kind of get himself into national recognition.
Yeah, and another trio of players who are under the age of 24 include Robert Kulhak, Hassan Mahmood, who's a seamer, and also left arm spinner Raqibul Hassan. Are they players that you have knowledge on, or
what you Raqibul, yeah, definitely. So Raqibul again was part of that under 19 World Cup winning squad. And yeah, again, I've seen a little bit of him in terms of seen a little bit of him play, and yeah, kind of heard good things about him. And you know, the hope is that if he can get a little run of games in this tournament and kind of show everyone what he can do.
Yeah, for sure. And just moving on to the final two teams now, begin with the Dhaka Dominators, who've been, I think traditionally when the tournament first started, they were one of the stronger sides, but this year they've struggled so far. And with it being an under 24 podcast, no one who's played for them is under 24 yet. although they do have an interesting story with one of their overseas players, Robin Das, 20 year old middle order batter who people might be most familiar with from playing with Essex, but he has Bangladesh heritage as well. So it's an interesting story to see him get that kind of chance over there, and maybe he'll come into the 11 at some point in the tournament.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's a fantastic story for Robin. So yeah, speaking to him a few days ago, and should have a nice little piece on BBC online about him coming up in the next few days. So watch out for that, everyone. But yeah, no, what a fantastic story. Like you say, he's only played like, you know, a handful of T20 Blast games for Essex. He definitely played quite a few Royal London one day games this season, or the season just gone. So yeah, definitely a little bit untried. But yeah, if you look at, you know, how Dhaka Dominators has gone so far, okay, they've only played two games, I'd say there's lots of scope to kind of break into that top order. Like you say, they've got a lot of you know, guys the wrong side of 24, if you like, and yeah, I think there's definitely some spots up there for grabs. So yeah, let's hope that that he gets a game sooner rather than later. I think their next game is on Saturday, so yeah, the whole tournament now is in Chattogram, so they've moved from Dhaka to Chattogram, so they've got, I think, a week's worth of games in Chattogram starting tomorrow. So yeah, let's hope that he can break into the team.
Yeah, and just on the topic of Chattogram, where the games will be hosted, now that's the final team we've not covered so far. They're 1-1 so far from their opening two games, and I think they were third last time out. One thing noticed for them is kind of their recruitment last year, they had the likes of Will Jacks, Benny Howell in the team, whereas this year it's not been to the same kind of standard. I think I noted in the first game, they signed Darwish Rasooli, 23-year-old Afghanistan spin hitter who plays in the middle order. He opened, obviously wasn't very successful and has since been dropped, but I don't think he was used very well, and so that's possibly why. And if he was to come back in a team, if to use him in his preferred role, probably get more success. But the best player I think that they have is Afif Hossain, 20. I don't know how he's 23, he seems to have been around for a while. But he's a really good right hand spin hitter and bowls some useful spin himself as well. I think him and Russell would make a nice combination at 4 and 5 for them. But he's kind of nailed down his position in the national team now, and I think I'm right in saying he's the skipper of the team as well. So he's a really exciting player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, just touching on Chattogram from last year, they were kind of my tip to kind of potentially win it last year. They didn't get to the final, but yeah, what a brilliant competition that Will Jacks had last year, kind of ended up top run scoring the whole tournament. And like you say, they had the likes of Benny Howe. Also, they had Mehdi Hassan Mraz, who I know played for them last year and, you know, scored quite a few runs and got wickets as well. Yeah, this year, I think you're right. They do seem a bit light on that sort of same kind of quality, if you like. But yeah, Afif Hussain, you're right. He does seem to have been around for a little while. Yeah, what I would say is that, you know, he did underwhelm a lot of people at the T20 World Cup. I think a lot of Bangladesh supporters were expecting big things from him, particularly having gone into the competition with such a good Asia Cup behind him. So the Asia Cup that took place just before the T20 World Cup, he played a couple of really good knocks in that. He was looking in good form, but yeah, just didn't do much out in Australia. And like I, you know, was saying earlier, that's the same can be said for a lot of the Bangladesh T20 batters in that competition. But yeah, he's skippering that team. Again, yeah, I would say maybe there's a bit of a question mark around exactly what his strength is in terms of batting. I know for the national team, in terms of for Bangladesh, he normally comes in and, you know, quite late, and it's quite a defined finisher role that he has in the, you know, overs maybe 15 to 20. But, you know, I think potentially he could bat higher up in the order and, you know, maybe three or four and play a slightly different role. I think maybe that's something that he needs to figure out and yeah, just work out where his kind of true strength lies.
Yeah, I think maybe on paper as a whole, their team isn't one of the stronger ones. I think the first game was a kind of complete disaster for them. But the second game, they made a few changes opening the bat, and with I think Usman Khan opened. I think he was carded down at 7 or something in the first game, and he came into his preferred opening role, got 100. Obviously, Rasuli opened, who's normally more in a middle order player. Max O'Dowd came into open and got a 50. So although maybe on paper they don't have the strongest team, but when they get what they have right, then it shows that they're still able to compete and do well against teams. I think I'd still like to see Rasuli play over Unmuk Chand, who's in the side as well. But some of them do have 21-year-old Seamer, Mrityunjoy Chowdhury, who was impressive last year. What can you tell us about him as well?
Yeah, like you say, he had a good BPL last year. Again, he was, you know, he stayed in the same franchise team. And I guess, yeah, sort of similar, in some ways similar to Raja Reza, who also played for Chattogram last year. Yeah, similar to him. Again, not the tallest, kind of quick bowler, I guess. Quite skiddy. Left arm bowler, left arm with the bat as well. Or left hand with the bat as well. Definitely there's some promise there, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And the final player I'd noted down is another overseas option they've got, who recently came into the team for the last game as well, I believe, was Vijayakanth Vyaskanth, who's a 21-year-old leg spinner from Sri Lanka, who had a strong Lanka Premier League a couple of months ago, which was impressive as well, because I think the team he played for just lost Tasaranga. So he was going to be the front line spinner at the age of 21, and he had a really strong tournament. Shows that he was able to step up. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, traditionally, all Bangladesh batters have a bit of a weakness against leg spin. It's just not something that is bowled very often at sort of, you know, domestic level within Bangladesh. So I'm sure if he can get a good run with the team, then he's bound to pick up a few wickets.
Yeah, certainly. And that's all seven teams that I'd covered so far. Is there any other players that catches your eye that we've missed off so far?
I don't think so. No, I think that's been pretty comprehensive. Yeah, I think Well, I mean, you know, just going back to that sort of Sillett team, I guess, and yeah, it is just, you know, it seems like they've got a nice mix there of kind of experience and youth, and yeah, well, I guess one player that we haven't mentioned, who was also again part of that under 19 T20 World Cup winning team a couple of years ago for Bangladesh, was Akbar Ali. So I guess he was actually just after the tournament, he was probably one. So he captained that side, in fact, and he was probably, you know, one of the players that you would have expected to have kind of progressed the quickest out of everyone. He just seemed to have a very sort of calm head on his shoulders. He's a wicketkeeper batter, or he was a wicketkeeper batter. That was his role in that World Cup winning team. So, yeah, the sense there was that he would have progressed a bit quicker than he has. So, yeah, yet to represent Bangladesh, you know, in terms of full international honours. He's part of the Sillett team. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Because, well, so they have got Mushfiqur Rahim, the veteran kind of wicketkeeper batter. So I feel, you know, there's a lot of similarities between those two players, and potentially a lot of learning there for him.
Yeah, it'd be a good grounding playing alongside him as well. So I think that covers everyone that we had. So looking forward to the rest of the tournament, although it may be a chance to keep up with it all the time with everything that's going on in the cricketing world at the moment. But just to round up, just some quick predictions. If you had to tip anyone to win the tournament, who would it be at the moment, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, so I would say my heart would be with Sillett. You know, Sillett strikers, they've started really well. Plus, yeah, got a little bit of, you know, like I say, my family heritage is from the Sillett region in Bangladesh. So a little bit of emotional attachment there. So my heart, I would say, is with Sillett. If I was to look at things a bit more rationally in terms of kind of overall sort of strength in depth, yeah, then, you know, I would look at maybe Runpool Riders or Fortune Baroshal. I don't think Camilla Victorians have quite got enough this year, but yeah, I would say yeah, one of those two, Fortune Baroshal, maybe Runpool Riders as well.
Yeah, that's who I had down as well. And anyone for top run scorer, I did have your namesake, Tobin Fridoy, down, but with his finger injury. Okay, maybe hoping that speeds up his recovery. But is there anyone that stands out to you that could top the run scoring charts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, still all to play for there, isn't it? I mean, if the likes of Azam Khan get going again at the top of the order, I can see him scoring lots of runs. Shoaib Malik as well, you know, at the other end of the sort of age spectrum. I know he scored a few runs the other day. So, yeah, one of those Pakistani internationals.
And anyone for the top wicket taker that catches your eye at the moment?
Yeah, top wicket taker. So Reza, as we said, has started well. I mean, obviously, you know, you look at guys like Mustafiz. The Fizz hasn't really got going yet. But yeah, I'd expect him to be up there with his experience, particularly in sort of T20 Bangladesh conditions. It's absolutely, you know, his bread and butter, really.
Yeah, definitely. Also, Taskin Ahmed noted down as potentially being up there as well. Putting place to look out for. I think there's some overseas players that would normally catch your eye, but I think most of them will probably play like two or three games, then disappear and then come back. So I just went with local players because they'll be available for every game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, there's a chance there, isn't there? I think certainly the batch of kind of most of the Pakistani contingent, and I would guess maybe most of the Sri Lankan contingent who are there at the moment, probably will be there for most of the tournament. So yeah, maybe one of those guys could end up doing really well, runs, wickets.
Yeah, we'll see in a few weeks' time how right or wrong we are with those predictions. But I think that rounds up everything we've got so far. So thanks so much for coming on. It's been really interested in learning a lot more about the local Bangladeshi players and the league as a whole going forward. So, just where can people find your work?
Yeah, so as I said, do sort of check out the Twitter handle. I'll kind of post stuff up about the BPL. So it's at SightScreenCJ. I'll be posting sort of stuff that I do for BBC Online up there as well. So yeah, do check it out.
Yeah, we'll see that Robin Das article hopefully as well very shortly too. And also you can find ourselves on www.scoutingcricket.com, on Twitter at Scouting Cricket. And we also have on our website as well a variety of podcasts and our magazine, which is still available to purchase on there for £5 for the print version or £2 for the digital copy. And thanks again, Tollidge, for coming on. And thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you next time.